It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
All right, quick update on the YouTube. Go to YouTube, search KHK, and see us in my progressively... Is it just a Jay? No, I know you have other stuff to pay attention
to.
It's getting more wrinkled as we go. If you missed the opening of the show, I'm wearing a new shirt that was perfectly unwrinkled when I left the house and is becoming more wrinkled.
What's the opposite of wrinkle-free? Because that's whatever...
Wrinkle-expensive.
I guess so.
This thing is... Like, literally, dude, it's more wrinkled than when I got here.
And I think it gets a little bit bigger every time as well.
God dang.
You're not a small man, so the fact that you're swimming in a t-shirt is interesting.
Dude. I've been losing weight, too.
Yeah, but you're not like, you know.
Yeah.
Not like you're doing a great job. Uh-huh. You're I'm proud of your progress.
Thanks. Appreciate that. I don't care if I'm a big, giant, fat butt. This thing keeps wrinkling more. By the end of the show, I'm going to look like crumpled up tinfoil, but with cotton. Golly.
Car wrinkle Dave.
Actually, somebody had something very funny. I was whining over the weekend about this game Farming Simulator that I tried for a second time that has absolutely no tutorials whatsoever. I have no idea what I'm doing. And somebody said, oh, so are you saying you're not Farm Michael Dave? I actually thought that was pretty funny.
Super funny. Hella funny. OMG.
Hecka funny. Before we get to
this knee real quick.
Before we get to the finals. You've heard of Moses Moody.
I have heard of Moses Moody.
Moses Moody.
Potential Kings legend Moses Moody.
Potential Kings legend Moses Moody. I go to what I believe is an Instagram commenter named Cassandra. I don't know who she is, and I will credit her even more if she appears somewhere where, you know, Twitter or somewhere I know.
Good morning, Cassandra.
She says, I had to get off Twitter and all that mess, so I have no idea if this has been brought up by others. But Moses Moody was born May 31st, 2002. The exact date of Game 6 of the 2002 Western Conference Finals.
I knew that off top of my head, which is really weird, but... Nope.
It's entirely possible this young man was born in the midst of a devil's pact to deprive the Kings of a championship and was blessed that day by the basketball gods, destined to arrive at this moment as a form of cosmic retribution, and will be the real savior of the franchise, and with the name Moses, no less. Last line's the best one. Also a good rebounder for his size.
Yeah.
Jay, I'm here to tell you, when I read something like, when I see a Kings fan, and I'm assuming a grown individual, maybe with children, having a job, voting, and write something like that, in all seriousness, and they put it out there publicly, I sit there and I go, oh my God, this is awesome, and we have to draft Moses Moody. I'm on board 100%.
So, two things. One, that's so dumb.
100% on board. Moses Moody Hive.
And by the way, I like how you describe that individual basically as like the female opposite of you, married, kids, old enough, like because you want to be on the same wavelength.
100%.
And so you know how I am. I'm not, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then again, do you remember there was that prophecy put out about Luka that we decided not to follow?
The Reddit prophecy.
And that gives me pause.
I have a very tortured relationship on Reddit because I'll rib them sometimes, and boy, do they get angry at me. But I'm on King's Reddit every day. I read just
that's
about,
a dark place.
It can be a dark place.
No, it is a dark place.
But like a lot of these places, there are many nuggets of gold, and anywhere that there are rabid Kings fans, I have to go. I want to hold up my drink and cheers with them and just read everything they have to say. And I will tell you, man,
Kings Reddit is like going into a mosh pit. Like, it seems like a good idea until you're in the middle of it and all your bones are broken.
I'll take the analogy. Going into Kings Reddit is kind of like a mosh pit. You go in,
High hopes.
You
looks fun.
You go in, half of them might be wasted. You're going to bounce off of a lot of people. You might leave with a headache, a possible concussion, but more often than not.
But you have the memory.
The next day you go, that was awesome. That was super fun. And you tell it years later.
I haven't had that reaction yet.
I love King's Reddit, and I love most of the people on King's Reddit, and they produce occasionally gold like this. Or, by the way, the prophecy, which turns out might have worked out fine for the Kings. I'm split on a lot of these people that they could draft. And again, I'm split that they're even going to keep the pick. But assuming they keep the pick, I'm just saying this. If they are even between like Moses Moody, Alperen Sengun, Josh Giddey, Kai Jones, you know, all the names were, if Moses Moody is on that board and he's even, all things said and done, this to me would be a tiebreaker.
So I'll believe that you're truly bought in if you text this prophecy to a person whose name... Why are you taking your headphones off? Are you serious right now? You're an idiot. I know. I'm not going to say it. You're an actual idiot. Like, I was about to do a bit.
Jay, you know me so well. Come on. Now, what I will...
I cannot believe that you just did that.
Am I saying... that I might have screenshotted that and passed that on to someone in the organization?
People in the know?
No, I'm not saying that. Am I saying that I didn't do that? I'm not saying that either.
I so wish I could say what you just showed. I'm not going to for...
Let me ask you, does it surprise you that I would pass that on? Are you actually surprised that I would screenshot that
and
say, you know what you need to do?
A little bit.
Let the important people know, please.
Dude, had you put an LOL in there, maybe I'd be like, okay, haha, but you didn't.
Did I?
I don't think you did.
Oh, I put a smiley at the end when I said, we know what you have to do. But I was basically saying, hey, you, because of course I'm not gonna send that to, you know, the decision maker. But
of course.
But somebody who might come in contact with them. Hey, listen, this Reddit prophecy, just so the Reddit people that rip on me all the time know, I'm passing your stuff on, okay?
Also, I'm a little sad.
I'm your avatar.
I'm a little sad that you have Slamson's number. And I
don't. Anyways, Moses Moody is the savior of the Sacramento Kings. 339-1141-9211.
Halliburton, Fox, who cares? Moody.
I want to get to the Bucks, and I want to get to these wonderful things that you have compiled on the last time the Bucks won the NBA title. But I want to pay off real quick. Monty Williams was asked by, it was actually a writer from The Ringer. Mm-hmm. He was asked about his free time. This is before game 5. And he ends up kind of self-deprecating, but then going into what I think, again, is, you know, we're talking about falling in love with Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's not hard. Same thing with Monty Williams. It's just so easy to love this guy. Listen to what he said.
Hey, Monty, over here. I'm curious, you know, this series is going 6 and possibly 7. It's a tense environment. You're looking at film and adjustments every day. But I'm curious as to, like, what have you been doing personally when you've had time off to unplug a little bit?
What do you write for? Boring.com? You don't want to know what I do in my spare time. It's not that.
I mean, I'm just curious.
Okay. It was Sam Amick that asked Giannis Antetokounmpo that question that led to Giannis's beautiful response about humility and pride.
By the way, Sam, you're a legend forever with that question, by the way.
Yeah. Just, you know, follow it through on your commitments and show up on the radio show. But other than that, he's great. I just want to point out, and it's tough to do from our chairs because we're in the media. With as much as media gets crap, as much as they should get crap, including the guy that asked Devin Booker with Chris Paul sitting next to him, how disappointed was Devin Booker for Chris Paul? To which Chris Paul just said, next question. It was media asks some stupid things. They write stupid things. They're dumb and they're stupid. Okay, that being said, but the ones that do their jobs correctly, like Sam and like this writer from The Ringer, your job is to be a setter in a volleyball match. Mm-hmm. And if you set up the personalities correctly, they may not always spike it. They may miss it. But if you do your job to set the ball, every once in a while you'll get that spike that you wouldn't have gotten had it not been for your research and your question. And I point that out not just because I think it's a semi-fine question. It's fine. But the key is that Monty was brushing it off and being humble. And for the writer to interject, I'm just curious, to follow up and prod him just one more time. I don't think if he doesn't follow up like that, I think Monty just blows it off. And
yeah,
moves
it goes
on
to the next question.
But he kind of prodded Monty, and he got this answer out of him.
You don't want to know what I do in my spare time. It's not that.
I mean, I'm just
right
curious.
There.
I don't know.
I'm at the house, you know. My kids make fun of me, and I read, and then I get back to work. I'll go outside with my dogs. Reading is something that I do more reading now than I did in college. I can't believe I'm admitting that. I didn't know what a syllabus was until I got to college. So, but I just enjoy time with my family, goofing around. And at night we have devotionals at night where we talk, we read a Bible verse and we talk about the Lord and his impact on our lives and what he's done for us. And it's been really cool to talk to my children about the stresses and fears and all the stuff that I've gone through the last 2 months, because they look at me as big as I am, you know, in a certain way. And I think it's cool, especially with my boys, to teach them it's okay to be fearful, but not let those fears stop you. And so the conversations with my kids the last few weeks have been really, really cool. So that's probably the most enjoyable thing I do, that allows me to get away from this a little bit.
I felt that so much as a parent, dude.
Well, he just comes off as straight dad, right?
Total dad. And not to get too deep in the woods, but like, I'm not religious. We don't
right.
do the religion thing in the house. But I felt that. Like, we don't sit around at night and talk about what the Lord has done for us because we're not a Lord household. And I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just being honest. But I hear he was talking about devotionals and what the Lord has done for them. You know, he was talking about how his kids share them, blah, 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 and some of the struggles they've had. And I'm sitting here as a parent. I'm like, I'm imagining sitting around with my wife and kids at night and talking, having my kids share what they're happy for, what they struggle with and all that. And whether it's in the guise or, and I don't mean that in a fake way, but whether it's under the umbrella, I should say, of religion, or whether it's under the umbrella of, hey, I just want to communicate. That, it's like you admire him as a coach, but then you admire him as a parent. And right. then what that does for me, like, why does it matter if Monty Williams is a good parent? Obviously, he's been through unspeakable tragedies, and I'm sure that's helped mold his priorities quite a bit. But, gosh, you can't say stuff like this anymore without offending somebody, and I mean this with the biggest heart. I think I'll bet you if throughout NBA history, for example, and probably coaching history, I'll bet you if somehow there was a way we could look up statistics on coaches, much like we do players with batting average or rebounds, and there were statistics on how good of a parent they were, I'll bet you it would almost always directly coincide with how good of a coach they are. And let me explain why.
I know, but
I know
just,
you know. I know you know.
But there's
because,
go ahead.
Because here's what we forget, because we deify these athletes so much. We were talking about this with Giannis and role models. But we forget that, like, they left home at 16 or 17. A lot of them didn't have the best upbringing. Some mm-hmm. did, some didn't. They go to college and they're automatically in the business and they're being approached by this. And their older brothers are the ones on the team. Their father figures in many cases are a coach or coaches, and not always the head coach. And then they go into the NBA and they've got agents and hangers on and people trying to get pieces of them and this and that or whatever. If you can come across a coach, and I'd love to talk to Doug about this or any actual athlete. It doesn't mean, by the way, they didn't have or don't. You can have a great relationship with your mom and dad or mom or dad and still have other. I have a wonderful relationship with my dad. I worship mm-hmm. my father more than any other person on the planet. But he's not my only father figure I've ever sure. had. if you can find a coach that you truly feel like you have that bond with, whether it's a father figure, an older brother, whatever it may be.
Let's call it the John Wooden effect.
It goes further, not all the time, but now all of a sudden, if you have that respect for that coach and you truly feel that that coach cares about you and your well-being, and there's 25 seconds left in the fourth quarter and you're down two and you're the superstar and the coach says, hey, I want you to cut towards the basket and then peel off. We're using you as a decoy to give Ding Dong McGillicuddy the three. You're not questioning motives or anything. You're saying, you got it. Let's do this. Let's win. And it permeates the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And Monty, to me, as you get these peaks as to who he is, you got to be a good X's and O's guy to be in the NBA.
Like,
of course you do. I'm not entirely sure that Monty's humanity isn't as, if not more important than the obviously vast basketball knowledge he has. That team has smart players like Chris Paul, obviously, who's a coach on the floor, and Devin Booker and others. But Monty Williams just continually proves who he is, and I absolutely love it.
So you made a very great point there. Wow. I'm sorry, but when you said the whole rank 'em fathers in the
I
just thought of something of why that can't be a good thing, why that can never happen.
Oh, no.
Because you get too many, like, let's just use the Kings' current situation as an example. We would start seeing think pieces about, oh, Luke Walton must be a terrible dad. Like, how the Kings are performing
on the
floor.
See, for, like, Luke, I'm actually glad you brought Luke up. Because for Luke, it's not going to be a father figure situation. But for Luke, what it could be is, like, an older brother situation.
Sure.
Like, Luke is so fresh out of the NBA as a player that he's almost like a roster member to some of these guys.
But then there's the argument, oh, Luke Walton must have been the worst of the Walton brothers. People start reaching out to Bill. How bad of a kid was Luke to his siblings?
I'm glad you brought that up, because here's the thing. In reality, all jokes aside, that I think is Luke's biggest strength as a coach, is his bonding with the team. Now, Luke may not, the problem is, Luke may not be an X's and O's guy. In fact, he may be a D-minus. I'm not saying he is, but he might be a D-minus X's and O's rotational, all that stuff. He may not have all those tools in his tool belt, but I think the reason why, whether you believe he should or not, the reason why Luke Walton is still the coach of the Sacramento Kings for now is the players like him. They rally around him. They believe in him. They're public about it. So he's got that part down.
But that's the most important part about being a head coach in sports today. I know old head doesn't like to hear that.
Right.
But let me give you an example, old head, of a guy who was like that, very successful. Phil Jackson.
Yes.
Tex Winter was his X's and O's guy.
Yes, he was.
Phil Jackson was responsible for managing the personalities.
Yep.
The Shaq and Kobe relationship, you know, and obviously you can make an argument whether he did a good job or not, but he got three titles out of him. And then two more out of Kobe later on. But the Jordan Bulls, you see it highlighted in The Last Dance. Phil Jackson is trying to manage, you know, his third best player wanting to go to Vegas during the middle of the season, while his second best player is basically said, nah, I'm good. I'm going to take my time getting back on the court. All while they're doing yoga together. Like, that's a head coach's job. Dave Roberts, I read an interview he did a couple years ago talking about that, where he's basically like, my job is, like, when I played, I didn't talk to my manager in the offseason.
Sure.
I saw him when, you know, spring training started and whenever the last of the season was. He's like, I'm in constant contact with my guys, checking in on their mental health, all of that during the offseason, making sure they're good. It's completely different than it used to be.
It is. When interviewing candidates, you can't just have the good guy, but when interviewing candidates, if I'm a team owner, if I'm a GM and I'm interviewing coaching candidates, I'm absolutely looking at the personality of the guy and how his colleagues are with him and how he was as a player in the locker room.
Dude, look at what happened in Indiana with Nate Bjorken.
Yep.
Like, dude lost his locker room quick and was out. I didn't call him Bjorken. Praise me.
Nate Bjorkson.
Bjorken. Where are you going with this?
I'm going here. I'll get to the music in a second.
Yeah, I'm...
Yo.
Oh, I get it now. Okay.
You got it now?
I got it now.
You got it now. 1971 was the last time the Milwaukee Bucks won the title. So Justin Marshall, who is our third person here, producer. Hey, there you go. We should start with that narrative that Jay Mars is you, but then we have Justin Marshall as our third guy.
All right, I'm with that.
Put together a list of just some of the things that happened in 1971.
April of 71, when they
specifically
when the Bucks last won their title.
Last won the title. Thank you. That was Justin Marshall in the background telling Jay Mars to tell me that. Selena, the late great Selena, was born in Lake Jackson, Texas.
Selena would be 50 this year. That's crazy. Makes you feel old.
That's absolutely crazy to think about. The first International Burger King opened up in Australia. They called it the Hungry Jack?
Yes. Hungry Jack.
I got to know the story behind that. Why wasn't it just Burger King?
So they had a Burger King already in Australia that had it trademarked.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the research on that.
You're welcome.
Thought it might be like one of those Royale with cheese things, but yeah. You know. The Rolling Stones released Sticky Fingers.
One of their best albums.
Yeah. Henry Aaron. You may know him as Hammer and Hank. Also, R.I.P. Mr. Aaron. He became the third player in history with 600 home runs. The number one movies in 1971, Patton, A New Leaf, and Cold Turkey. I've seen one.
Patton?
Yes.
Yeah. I did not see you put this next one, and I just chuckled internally.
What? Charles Manson sentenced to life in prison?
Jeez, dude.
What is wrong with you? Charles Manson was sentenced to life in prison. Jason Ross was just 12 years
old
back in 1971. I didn't put, you put that in.
Trying to get me in trouble.
It's your turn, Jay. Have fun in that meeting.
God, I wish the cameras weren't on right now. I have a gesture for you that I can't share.
Oh, would that gesture be in reference to the Temptations being number one?
Yes. A big fat number one.
Number one song in the country in 1971. Just My Imagination. That's the music you hear right now, and it all comes together. That was the number one song in the country.
Did Watergate even happen yet?
No, not in 71.
Was it 72?
72 to 73, I believe. Okay. Then old Jerry Ford took over. How about that? Mel Allen would say. That's a lot of... Also, by the way, Facebook hadn't been invented
yet. No!
Yeah.
What iPhone were we on?
We're on iPhone 10.
Negative 14.
Let's see. In 1971, Steve Jobs was... He was still in school, I think.
Maybe.
Maybe he wasn't even in school.
1971, so 50 years ago, man.
1971, Shohei Ohtani had yet to hit a home run in the major league.
This is factual. I think the point is it's been a while since the Bucks won the title last. Hey, do you want to do maybe another time when the last time the Kings won the title, 1951? 70 years ago, what was going on in the world?
No.
Why?
Because I'm still shook. I'm still angry over somebody last week randomly telling me that the Sonics won a playoff series the last time before the Kings did.
Yes, this is factual. Yeah.
That since the Kings last won a playoff series, the Seattle Sonics have won a series. That's a fact. And it really bothered me. Really, I sat there and it really bothered me. So, no. Well, actually, I do want to do the whole last time the Kings won the thing, but I want to do it when they're, you know, like, yes, because that would mean hopefully we're on the verge of winning a title.
Gotcha. Then so we have to wait then.
Happily do it. We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next, we'll talk to a fabric expert as to why my shirt continues to wrinkle more and more. They're noticing it on the YouTube chat now. By the way, we'll also do Once in a Blue Moon. And ooh, buddy, Jay's got something on Wes Unseld Jr., the newest member of the NBA coaching circle. We'll do all that next.
The Carmichael Dave Show. Thoughtful, smart, engaging. None of these terms apply here, but he will read your snarky hate text at 916-339-1140.
Not so much anymore. Welcome back. 916-339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Quick note. People say I haven't mentioned Gus in a while, the victory puppy.
Yeah, did you finally give Gus away?
If only.
Oh, darn.
We were, I finally got my wife and kids to watch the Return of the King, the third in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Trying to guide them through, like, all the important movies.
Yeah, I have not seen a Lord of the Rings movie.
That doesn't surprise me.
You and Matt George can cuddle and watch those together.
We do. So, I have a pair of sandals I wear outside. I detest having bare feet in the house, and I detest... I yell at my family all the time for being in bare feet outside and then walking around in the house with the same bare feet and dragging in all the garbage. So we have a carpet in the room that we watch movies in. So I take my sandals off near
his
the carpet.
Theater room, everybody.
And walk in there. Well, I was going to get something to drink while the movie was on, and I slipped on my sandals. And I realized there was something wet in my sandals.
Oh, no.
And I immediately turned on my phone flashlight because the room was dark. The dog peed, not in one of my sandals, but somehow both of my sandals.
That a boy, Gus.
Next to each other had puddles of urine in them from the dog. I've never even heard of that before. Peed in both my sandals.
You have a special dog. Congratulations.
That's one way of putting it. I have a special dog.
You have a special dog. You have a unique animal that can do tricks.
I had a special dog. I'm sorry to report I threw him in the pool. Gus is no longer with us. 1-800-912-1140-339-1140.
Go ahead and use that number, PETA.
If only. No, I was instantly greeted with my wife saying, are you sure it wasn't Nacho, my chihuahua? Which, no, it wasn't, ever.
Oh, is she in the mode of because Gus is her idea now? We have to blame everything on Nacho to take the take the heat off of her and Gus. Got it.
Such an idiot. It's another marriage thing, dude. I told her in the beginning this is going to be a bad idea. It has become a bad idea. The one deal we had is you handle all his bad stuff, and I get to yell about it if he does. And now I'm not allowed to yell about it if he does because she gets it. I get it. He's a bad dog. What do you want?
A good dog?
This is my wife's super awesome ninja move on me. Fine. You were right. I'm a failure. What do you want from me? Fine. You want to rub it in? Fine. I'm a failure. I can't do anything. I'm a bad mom too.
Yeah. Right?
And then I'm just like, I don't care.
I had a similar discussion with my significant other last night. It pretty much revolved around this. I told her, like, I just don't know how to act anymore. She's like, what do you mean? I go, if I support you and whatever I'm supporting doesn't go the way you want, it's my fault.
Right.
But if I try to bring in an ounce of realism into something that you want me to support that I just don't feel comfortable with because then I'm not supportive, I just don't know.
There's no way. Wife joined me outside yesterday. Same to your point.
Hello, wife.
And she sits down. And, of course, I got to pause A Few Good Men.
Why were you watching A Few Good Men?
It was on, and I always watch it when it comes on.
Okay.
And it was right during the You Can't Handle the Truth scene. I pause, and I go, what's wrong? Like, I didn't care. I didn't, but.
But you know you have to pretend.
And then it starts off with your daughter. And my daughter is just a complete waste of space right now. She's going to be 14.
Jesus.
No, my daughter's. My daughter, I God bless her. I love her. I'd take a bullet for her. She sucks so bad right now. It's just everything out of her mouth is something stupid or dumb or combative or whatever. She's a teenage girl. It's just what it is. But my wife engages with her.
Uh-huh.
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Until finally my wife goes, ah! And then she comes outside and wants to commiserate about it. Where I've told her from day one, dude, don't participate. Just send her upstairs and take away privileges like I do. Don't give her the attention.
Yeah, no, just cut it off quick.
Been telling her this for years. It doesn't work. And then the women of my household are both ticked off at each other. And my wife cannot do the thing to, because I go, hey, she doesn't do that to me. Because this is, oh, well, you're just a better parent. And yesterday I was actually like, I am. On this particular thing, just do the thing. And then it turned into it's my fault now because I'm not listening. Anyway, Wes Unseld Jr. was hired as coach of the...
I'm going to play the thing.
Yeah, why don't you play the thing?
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer.
Got the segue.
Oh, please do.
From mommy-daughter duo to father-son duo.
Hey! Well done.
Wes Unseld Jr. Will be the next head coach of the Wizards. His father, Wes Unseld Sr., was also head coach of the franchise when they were the Washington Bullets.
Mm-hmm.
The Unselds will be the second father-son duo to be head coaches of the same franchise. The first, you ask? Flip and Ryan Saunders both coach the Minnesota Timberwolves.
That's right, and Ryan Saunders no longer the coach there, and you hope that for Wes Unseld Jr. Fares much better.
Inheriting an interesting roster, right?
Yeah, that the Wizards are a weird, they're an odd egg, man, that as far as roster goes.
Like, they probably should have, you know, retooled, rebuilt, however you want to put it, 3 or 4 years ago, and they just still fight for that 8 seed, baby.
And as a Kings fan, I certainly, you know, would like to have an 8 seed. By the way, over the weekend, too, the play-in tournament will extend at least through this season.
Yes.
That decision was
But
made.
Don't you want... You want the 8 seed with the idea that there's more on the horizon, right? Whereas you look at Washington, it's like the 8 seed is the pinnacle for this roster.
I mean, listen, your anchor is Russell Westbrook, who's still a very good player. He's still a very good player.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But is also owed $91 million over the next 2 years.
That's a lot of money.
So good luck there. Bradley Beal is really your golden chip. And you got to listen, if I take over for the Wizards as their GM tomorrow, the first thing I'm doing is I'm opening up the bidding.
Yeah.
What am I getting? Because that is the cornerstone of my rebuild. They have Thomas Bryant. They have Ish Smith, who's whatever. He's a free agent, actually.
I like Rui.
I like Rui Hachimura as well. And then Danny Avdija, the rookie last year, certainly showed promise. Also, don't forget Caleb Holmesley.
Could you?
He made $18,458 last year, but is scheduled to make $1.5 million next year. Good for Caleb.
Why don't we get raises like that?
Hello? I mean, really, honestly, that's a $1.5 million raise.
That's not bad.
Mm-mm. Over the $18,000 he made, you know, the year before. Anyways, so you have Bryant, you have Hachimura, you have Danny Avdija. You have a tiny little core. But what you could get for Bradley Beal, like, there's no reason to have Bradley Beal on that team.
I've said this. I don't understand why he's still there. I've never understood why he's still there. I love Bradley Beal, but Bradley Beal is not the superstar to lead you to the promised land.
No.
He's a great second or third piece for a team that's really looking to get over the hump. And this team should be looking to acquire assets and just kind of enter that rebuild mode. You know, they've stuck around with Beal right there, late lottery. They'll be right outside the lottery this year, and they get decent players, but never anything to push them further.
No, and the thing with Beal is that the clock is ticking. He makes $34.5 million next year, $37.2 the following year on a player option.
Which he will certainly decline.
I would think so, too. So now all of a sudden you're in a de facto contract year with Bradley mm-hmm. Beal. The fact that they did not trade him last year, there is a huge difference between trading for Bradley Beal, who signed for 2 years, and renting Bradley yep. Beal and wondering, hey, if I'm willing to give up XYZ star player and PDQ first-round draft picks for a guy I'm going to have for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you look at the market at the trade deadline last year, there was no superstars on the market. You could have gotten... Having him again, they would have had him for the duration of the playoffs this year, plus a full training camp the following
Absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely.
You could have got a nice little ransom for Bradley Beal last year at the deadline.
And the thing is, if I'm a GM, and I know this is kind of counterproductive because a GM's got to win now or you're gone. But if you truly were doing your job as a GM for and your job is to what is best for this franchise now and what is best for this franchise in the future, dude, I look around at teams that are competing that need Bradley Beal to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
I look for the teams that don't have a long shelf life, and I say, yeah, I'll take 3 first-rounders,
yeah,
25, 27, and 29.
Yeah, I'm calling Portland.
I'm waiting I don't want any of their first rounders right now.
No, no. Again, I'm calling Portland. Right. Like, I want, hey, guys, you got like 3 years to compete with Dame. He's obviously mad. Correct. We got Bradley Beal, who might be that guy next to him.
And I want your 2025, 27, and 29 first rounders because I'm going to bet that you're going to be rebuilding by then. Mm-hmm.
And if you're Portland, you're like, dude, Dame clearly not exactly excited to be there. We have to find a way to entice him. There's a good way.
That's a great way, but it is a little bit of malpractice. Why the idea? God, I just wish I was an NBA owner because one of the first things
Governor,
Governor, excuse me. Because one of the first things I would tell my GM is, hey, listen, I need you to win now, but also I'm not going to penalize you if I think you're doing great moves in the future. In fact, that's going to help you.
Right.
So don't. We're in such a world where these GMs understand that if they don't win now, they won't have a job for too long, which creates a situation where they could have a tremendous deal, but it doesn't impact the team for 2, 3, 4 years. They're not going to make it because they know they won't be around if they make that deal. And that's kind of unfortunate. One more note here real quick. I know we have to take a break here. An alternate on the U.S. women's gymnastics team has tested positive for COVID. Also, Coco Gauff tested positive for COVID. She will not play in Tokyo with the Olympics opening up.
You see it now before the Olympics even started. COVID is going to be the biggest storyline of the 2021 Olympics. It really is.
And
get ready for it.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. We got what's on tap, and there is a lot on tap. We've got the other thing we do, the crossover. We'll ask
that him. One.
We will be asked and we will ask. And then, did the Niners miss out on Matthew Stafford because Kyle Shanahan stayed at the wrong hotel in Cabo? I've got that story in my hand. We'll talk to you about it next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh. It's what's on tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's what's on tap. Brought to you by
Ted Lasso.
That's funny you mentioned that. I think we're 6 episodes into season. They just got their first win.
You started it.
I did.
Do you like it so far? It's fun, right?
It took me a couple of 3 episodes, really mainly because I couldn't figure out, like, I was like, are they being, like, where's this going? I it was very strange to me. Like,
uh-huh.
But then I got it. There is nowhere there. It's very surface. It's what you see is what you get.
Yep.
Ted Lasso is just a goofy, happy-go-lucky, positive dude. And I'm watching it with my wife. Absolutely like it. I totally get now why everyone's, you know.
I tell people it's not some deep emotional. It's just a fun, quick watch.
And that's
sometimes you need that.
And that's what I had to figure out. I'll tell you, probably my favorite character so far is the assistant coach.
Oh, Beard?
I love him.
Okay, you're going to get introduced to a character, I believe, in episode 7, who is going to you're just going to love him. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. And that the new season starts soon,
Friday.
Right? On the Late to the Bandwagon train, I watched the first 3 episodes of Arrested Development over the weekend.
Never seen Arrested Development.
I think I might like it, but I'm not sure.
You know what I've been trying to get into, and I'm slowly coming around on it, is Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Parks and Rec and Community are two that my wife's been up my ear to watch.
Parks and Rec, the first season sucks. Mm-hmm. The second season's been much better, but it's still, still trying to,
if you have Apple TV, I just happened to come on this new show that debuted over the weekend.
Ew.
I think called called Schmigadoon. Yeah, I
double
know.
U.
Keegan-Michael Key and
I've seen this advertised.
I always forget I'm getting my Tysons. Is it Cecily Tyson, the one from Saturday Night Live? A Tyson just passed away, who was like a super great actress, and the other one was on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Miss Tyson, along with
Keegan-Michael. I am for real.
Like Martin Short, Fred Armisen. Like there's a real, and it's Lorne Michaels' production.
Wow.
It's a musical.
2 shows on Apple TV that have Martin Short on them. Interesting.
Well, he's probably got to deal with them. Anyways, I watched the first episode. I don't know what the heck I watched, but I'm intrigued and I'll watch it again. How about that?
Ted Lasso, get you one today. We could all actually use a Ted Lasso in our life.
We really, really could. You got to believe. You know what I'm saying, right? Let's see. Today, the Oakland A's. Now, the over-under we put on the Oakland A's attendance today was 20,000. It's a Monday. I think that's way too high, and so do 67% of our poll respondents. They also think that that is way, way, way too high. But Shohei Ohtani is on the mound against the Angels. Don't go. Just listen to it right here on Sports 1140 KHDK First Pitch at 640.
Ohtani pitched on a Friday night in Oakland earlier this year in late May. I don't know. I don't think the COVID restrictions were lifted yet, so I do think attendance was impacted because of that.
Right.
8,000 people on a Friday night. So
on a Friday.
The A's,
that must have been COVID, though.
The A's, Friday, July 2nd, had their biggest attendance of the year, which was 32,000. So we know they're capable of putting over 20 in. Dude, it's Ohtani on a Monday.
Impossible, Mike Trout. Yes.
Yeah. Get out there.
I can tell you one game that will have far more than 20,000 people will be at the Latrine in Chavez. That's Los Angeles. The Dodgers taking on the Giants. It's a full-on pennant race now. Engaged.
Yep.
It's on. Screw you. Screw you, Dodgers.
Both teams kind of limping into the series. Mookie Betts got hurt over the weekend. Don't know if he'll be back for this series or not. Cody Bellinger just forgot how to swing a bat, apparently, when he got hurt.
The Dodgers are entering this series a game back. The Dodgers will exit this series a game ahead of the Giants.
Think so.
I am calling my shot.
They would have to win 2 or 3, right?
Yes.
Okay.
At least a game ahead of the Giants.
I think the Giants...
They're either getting swept or losing 2 or 3.
They're not getting swept. That's not a
thing. They're either getting swept.
I think the Giants might win 2 or 3. The Dodgers, they had that big explosion the other night in Colorado, and that yesterday just looked.
They'll be fine.
I watched the rest.
They'll be fine, Jay.
Okay.
Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan go back a long way. Shanahan hired McVay as an offensive quality control coach, effectively the OC's personal assistant in 2010. When Shanahan was under his dad in Washington. He joined McVay on the Flying Coach with Sean McVay podcast. They talked about their time working together, what they look for in a quarterback, and their play calling philosophy. The conversation eventually turned to Matt Stafford. Shanahan revealed he was also interested in Matthew Stafford, which is crazy because Kyle Shanahan generally doesn't share his thoughts. He never, ever shares his thoughts. Oh, wait. He does all the time. So now he's saying he was interested in Stafford, said he studied him hard and that, quote, he's better than I'd realized. He was the man and he's underrated to me. He also shared that he was in Cabo on vacation with his wife when McVay and Stafford were also in the town hammering out a deal at a different hotel. Shanahan wanted to make a play, but it didn't work out. He said, and I quote, I was trying to get involved in it. I remember on Saturday, I was so stressed out. And finally, we talked to someone, and it was like 7 at night. They said, nothing's happening at the earliest till tomorrow, so you can finish your night. I said, okay, I'm done. Put my phone down, talk to Mandy. Let's go out to dinner. Let's have some drinks. Half hour later, a buddy of mine calls me. He says, I'm just telling you, if you want Stafford, you need to get a hold of him right now. I turned on my phone, and it was all over. It wasn't fun.
Got him.
Again, I will ask, I like Kyle Shanahan. I think he's a tremendous coach. As a diehard Niner fan, I am super happy he's our coach. What is his need to overshare?
I don't know. It's just, you know, me and Matt talked about this. Just the idea that coaches just kind of have now the ability, I guess, to share this stuff and they don't feel it's going to impact.
Not all coaches.
Makes good content. I mean, I'm not mad at him.
Right. I don't know.
As a media member, you love it.
No, I'm mad at him because stuff like that's like, dude, just stop it. You don't need to tell everything, dude. Who knows who you're going to make angry? Let's focus on Jimmy Garoppolo right now because he's under center for your team next year. Might
Possibly.
Want him to be happy. Well, yeah, exactly. Do we have a crossover question?
We do have a crossover.
How about that?
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
DC.
Yes, sir.
You know, good news in town. Some things are coming back, including, yes, you were saying the other day, Tower Cafe.
Oh,
right?
I love me some Tower Cafe French toast. That's, ooh, a thing, baby.
And I'm saying to you, Dave, and to you, Jay, you guys might want to hop on because Doug's saying he's going to take us, but you might as well take the show, everybody, for French toast, right?
Something wrong with my mic?
No, I hear it. So hopefully we're going to make it down there.
We'll let them come with us.
Yeah, we're going to make it down there sometime for some great French toast. But that leads us to a question.
Yeah, so if you guys are thinking about breakfast in the greater Sacramento area, where is your go-to spot?
Oh, the salespeople and management loves when we do this. Plug advertisers that aren't.
I hate when they do this.
Plug restaurants that aren't advertising.
Well, I'll give you one that is definitely not advertising, and I win because either you've been there and you know what I'm talking about, or you haven't been there and you're going to come up with some other place that isn't as good. You did not work with us when we were on Madison Avenue.
Did not.
Yeah. Right down the street on Auburn Boulevard is a tiny little place called Cricket Country Kitchen.
Yeah, I know it.
Have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
You eaten there?
It's delicious.
Best breakfast I've ever had in Sacramento.
Almost.
Oh.
Have you been to Bacon and Butter?
Yep.
You think it's better than Bacon and Butter?
I'm going to decline comment. I'm really going to decline comment because I know people that are involved with Bacon and Butter, and I don't want to say
and anything. They are good people.
They're,
you
wonderful,
know why?
Because
that
wonderful
is my favorite breakfast in Sacramento.
It really is great. Awesome place. Did you hear Doug get all nervous when Jason proposed him spending a little extra money?
Yeah, you know, Doug. Yeah,
get off the wallet, Doug.
God, but I get it. When you play, you know, 10 plus years in the NBA,
right,
the guys are so strapped for cash all the time.
My nephew is on his way to his next posting in Kodiak, Alaska, and I'm going to see him and his dad and his other brother is also in the military today, and we're going to Makuni for lunch, and I'm buying them Makuni. And not once did I think, hey, that's a lot of money, even though it's a lot of money.
Liar.
I hope they get the kids menu. Jay and Doug, real quick, A's are on very soon. Over under today, 20,000 in attendance for Shohei Ohtani. Do you pick the over or the under? Have a good rest of your show. For Jay, I'm Dave. Jim Rome is next. Love you. Go Kings. Bye-bye now.